Hi everyone, and welcome to 365.live. Today I have Unimax and Eric Wendell and Chuck Roach. Hey guys, how are you doing?
Very good,
Very
very
good.
good.
Great to
Thanks
have
for
you on the
having
show. Yeah. Pleasure's all mine. So really, we're going to be looking at what Unimax can do to help a Skype admin manage a Skype for Business environment, or even manage a hybrid environment where, or multi-platform environment, I should say. Where you may have Cisco via and Skype. So Chuck, Eric, you've got a presentation to show, so over to you guys, and we'll have some Q&A at the end.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Mark, for having us. What we've got prepared to show you is how to manage, how we can use our software solutions to help you manage not just your Skype for Business environment, but also while you're transitioning to that Skype for Business environment, whether that's on-prem or in the cloud. He just introduced us, but I just want to put my contact information up there for those of you who are looking for more information or would like to get more materials or information on the products that I'm about to show. So with that, I'm just going to tell you a quick history on Unimax because our history is really relevant to where our tools have come from and how they relate to the current environment and the current solutions that are available. We'll walk through our solutions and kind of talk about how they leverage our same core software engine but provide an interface to different users along the way, and then talk about the support that Unimax offers with those solutions as well as project information. So with that, I'd like to just kick it off by giving you just a quick history on Unimax. We've been around for over 25 years, and some people might be familiar with us from the days of developing tools like Mailbox Manager, Point Span Sync Manager that were developed with companies and delivered OEM with their equipment. That same capability to manage old systems and pull information from them as well as migrate some of that information and data from those systems was stuff that we had been doing for many, many years across many different platforms. Today, we really focus on the Microsoft platform. It's been something that's been growing for us in the last number of years quite a bit. But we play well with all of the major modern platforms that are out there, as well as the ability to pull information from those systems and manage them while they're concurrently there. So whether you're a small organization with just a few hundred to a thousand users, or you've got tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of users out there, we've got experience with all of them, and our list of customers goes on for many years. Some of them go back to the days of when the software was delivered to OEM. So with that, I'd like to just kind of highlight some of the things I'm going to show you. We really have an awesome core software tool that helps with a number of different things. I'll highlight some of them here that I'll talk about in our tools that I'm about to present. Number management's been a very popular one. It can be a big challenge when it comes to understanding where your numbers are being used, being able to reconcile them when they're in different formats across multiple systems. And our history of doing automation solutions for provisioning, deprovisioning, data synchronization across multiple different system types that are maybe your unified communication systems, PBX, voicemail, those as well as your maybe your call account and other systems where you want to share data out there, something we've got a long history of. Migrations, that seems to be very popular now, especially with large organizations as they're trying to make good migration groups, pull the appropriate information. Maybe it's hunt groups from Avaya moving to response groups in your Skype for Business account, as well as managing those environments during the transition, whether that's a multi-vendor environment just during the transition or in the future, or if it's just a homogeneous system that you're just looking for more efficient ways to be able to manage and interface with those systems. We have solutions that I'll present here as well. I mentioned automation as well. There's a big spectrum of what automation means, and that could be just simplifying the number of steps through certain workflows, which is relatively easy and off-the-shelf able to do, to more complex and complete automation solutions, which we would call lights out automation, where you might have start with somebody just being hired, and then a long list of processes that are called based on different business rules to create and send out notifications to people to let them know they've had certain assets enabled or provisioned for them, along with information for how to complete their own setup and setting configuration for those assets, whether they be phone, voicemail, or other assets that they might have. And then finally, I'll talk a little bit about our ability to hand off things like self-service and help desk capabilities from administrators to other places where it might be more appropriate. So whether that's PIN and password resets or just being able to quickly go in and do provisioning, deprovisioning as necessary. I'll show you some of the capabilities there as well. Mark, feel free to jump in if you've got questions or anything you'd like me to cover more as I continue on.
Will do.
Oh, perfect. So I like to use this diagram to just talk about how our software fits into the environment. It kind of gives you a high-level overview of how everything's going to fit together as I start to do the demonstration. This is a diagram that really centers around a core software engine, and that is just true about how our software works. This core software engine that you recognize right in the middle, it's our Second Nature Web Services Foundation. That core engine is a Windows application. It resides on a Windows server, which can be virtual. I'll put the requirements up there. We use a SQL database to connect all of the data that we put together in that core engine. That data can come from all of the systems that we've represented at the bottom. In this case, it could be three sites, but it could be one site or 300 sites. It could be in one area or across a whole bunch of different locations. And they can be a mismatch of a bunch of different system types. We've highlighted some of the communication systems that we have native interface and full compatibility with. Everything from Avaya, Microsoft, Cisco, et cetera. And what we do is we pull that data in, and we use the word federated, which means to connect that data in a meaningful way. So we can associate users in Active Directory with their stations on the Avaya CM, maybe their mailbox in modular messaging, maybe their session manager user profile, all of that from one place. And we can look at that, see it, sort and filter that data in meaningful ways, and use that core engine to support all of the tools that we've got represented across the top. I'll just walk across them really quickly, tell you a little bit about them, and then I'm going to jump into them in a little bit more detail and give you a little bit of a demonstration as we jump into the software to showcase a couple of them. So on the top left, we've got Second Nature. That's our flagship product. It's the most robust view into that core engine, and it allows you to do the moves, adds, changes, the administrative work that most system administrators would be familiar with. It gives you a complete capability to sort and filter and move that data around, and I'll show that one last as we're showing some migration examples and the ability to provision across multiple systems. The next one over is our Help One tool, and I'll show that one first here. It'll just be a simple web interface that allows you to automate many simple tasks for high volume tasks like pins, password resets, searching for people across a diverse environment, be able to make simple updates to the systems that they're on or the assets that they've got, whether they be phone or voicemail assets. You'll see that you can search for a person and find out that they've got Avaya and Skype for Business in the same environment and what changes do we want to make. Line one is our self-service version of Help One. It really focuses on the end user being able to log in themselves and make changes, and especially during a migration, for example, allowing an end user to log in using one tool and not have to know what assets they have. It'll just be presented to them. It can be a huge convenience as well as a time saver from creating work tickets that get passed up the help desk and then to the admin level.
So
and then
with,
also Number Pro.
With line one, obviously you mentioned there that you put in the power in the employee hands. Does line one come with an approval process so that that can be approved by a department manager, for instance?
Off the shelf, it does not. We really focus on just some of the high volume tasks. So things not like provisioning where you'd want to do approval tasks, but more like pins and password resets.
Right.
Or settings, call forwarding settings, maybe zero outs in some cases. Notification settings so that they'd be up to be able to do that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's fine. I was just wondering what tasks the employee could do. You know, if it's a case of like, you know, I can use that to change my voice policy, for instance, you know, that's obviously would require approval, but no, you explained that.
One of the ways that we allow you to control that without having to get into the complexity of the approval process and tying that in is being able to control what you allow your end users to be able to do. So you may allow certain user groups in order to be able to make changes like what you're describing, where in other cases you may say for the broad majority of people in this environment, we're just not going to give them the capability to do that. We've got a different process for them to be able to go in and do that. Maybe you push that up to the help desk level and maybe you require them to do it at that level, or you push off a tool like Help One to a manager in a department and only give them the ability to make those changes for those policy changes to the person who would have the approval capability.
Yeah, understand. Cool.
Awesome. So moving on, Number Pro is our number management tool. Again, an awesome web interface that allows you to focus on the number management that actually is integrated. The number management capability is integrated into our Help One and Second Nature tools. But this is a tool that's focused on that. And it can actually run independently of all the rest of our tools as well. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And then finally, Spotlight, which is another web interface that allows you to graphically consume information in that core engine. It's an awesome way to, through a web browser, get access to the data that's in that core engine.
So that's more like a reporting type products.
Say that again?
That's more of a reporting type product, Spotlight, is that with that
Yeah, it
pricing.
is. So one of the cool things you might want to see is, you know, give me an allocation of my numbers in a certain location or by department. If I want to see a pie chart of all what kind of handsets I've got in a particular environment. If I want to see an example of where my licenses are being used and consumed, there's a whole bunch of different examples. We can pull up a couple of examples, but really it's an easier way to consume large amounts of data through things like pie charts, bar graphs that are in some cases very interactive, where you can actually just click on the piece of the pie chart and find out who are these people in this particular area that are making up this piece of the pie chart. In other cases, we use it in coordination with our other tools to understand how they're being used. How many changes are being processed through our help desk? How many changes are being processed by each administrator? Or how much is our end user tool being used? How many changes are being processed there? So there's a number of different ways you can set up reports to be able to see them and consume that information in a graphical way where it seems to be easier to understand and consume. So with that, I'd like to move on, and I'll keep coming back to this diagram to talk about which product I'm featuring, but I'll focus immediately on Help One, which I've highlighted here, and I'm just going to give you a couple screenshots before we jump into the software. I've kind of mentioned a little bit what it does, but I've got a slide here to describe it. Again, it is a simple web interface, and when I say automates, it automates a majority of the workflow. So things like pins and password resets, maybe the mailbox has been locked and it needs to be unlocked. You're not even going to see that step. You can configure it so it just skips over some of those steps and automatically does some of them. It's completely auditable, and sometimes you want to be able to maybe provision people and then schedule those things to happen later. This allows you to do that, and we'll show that to you here in a moment. I've got a couple screenshots here to give you an idea about what it looks like before we jump into it. At the top, you'll see a screen that shows the web interface for, in this case, Cindy Clark, the admin who's logged in. She's got a number of buttons with actions that she might want to do, and everything from simple pins and password resets to updating of phone settings or mobility settings, or if you give her a permission to be able to update directory information. At the bottom left, I've got the one highlighted that shows the create button, and you can do a couple of those for different system types, whether that's Skype for Business or Cisco or Avaya or deprovisioning. If you want to delete users or phones, you can do that as well. I've shown on the lower left-hand corner an example of what a search capability is. So you search for a name like Smith. You could also search on a more expanded name, that's a full name, or an employee ID number, or an extension. It's very robust on what you're able to search on and find who you want. I chose that example because it shows you can see all the Smiths across a diverse environment, no matter what system they're on, especially during a platform transition. You may not know where they're at, or maybe you've got some assets that are orphaned on an old system. So I also put an example of what it might look like as you're updating those phone settings. We try and make this a very easy tool to use, especially at the help desk level or people that don't have training on these systems. You can see that we provide examples of what the phone might look like that would be associated with that particular user, as well as an example of some of the things you may want to allow a person in this capacity to be able to make changes.
Just a question on the update phone settings screenshot. So you got a picture of a Cisco phone there, guessing that you're emulating what the desktop on the phone would look like.
That's correct.
Question, do you have that functionality for Skype phones like Polycoms and Yealink phones, or is that still another tool for that piece? So
So we have the ability to do update settings. Some of our ability to look up what the phone looked like is limited, but that's continuing to grow. So maybe by the time someone's seen this, we'll be able to show more phones. We have the ability to show those phone settings. Right now, as we continue to grow our Skype for Business support for this particular part of it, the graphical side is a little bit more limited. We definitely have a longer history with the Cisco and Avaya sites.
No, okay, sure. Cool.
So with that, Chuck, can we click over to Help One? Perfect. So Chuck is logging in here under Adam Klein on Help One. And we're just going to pull up an example of what his permissions might be. So in this case, he's got a few more buttons than I had on the screenshot example. But you can see here what that screen looks like. It's very similar to what we had before. Chuck, would it be all right if we did a create? Just a simple example of how we can automate a process very simply.
Sure.
So in this case, Chuck's going to open up the create button. And what he's been allowed to do as a person in this role is to be able to select a pre-configured setting for someone to be able to go in and create someone based on settings that have already been defined for this particular role, whether that's an administrator, a salesperson, you decide what they're allowed to see. And there's a little bit more complexity we could add into that as far as the decision-making process, but we try and reduce this down as much as possible. In this case, we're going to look for the user that we're looking for. We're going to use the integrated member management system to be able to find the number and then be able to select the number that we want to use moving forward. Now, in this case, he's clicking through to find the number that he wants. This happens to reflect the number format that that particular system has, and then we can go forward and move that person. If you want to associate a work ticket with that, send a confirmation email to the end user, or schedule this to happen at a later date, you can do that as well.
Can you synchronize that work ticket number with your service desk, for instance?
Yeah, so that is something we can do off the shelf. It's not tied in that way. But we certainly can do that. We have done that for many customers. Many of our solutions are set up to be very simply deployed to be able to just be able to roll out within a couple of days. If you would like more tighter integrations with things like ServiceNow or other work ticket systems or other systems beyond just work ticketing systems, we certainly can do that as well. One of the simple ways we do it right now is by putting that number in immediately. That gives us a very flexible way for people to still do auditing, not just against the change, who made it, when they made it, but also be able to associate that work ticket if it's going to be tied into another system for record keeping purposes.
Cool. So in that case, we just created an Avaya session manager phone voicemail. Could just as easily have added Skype for Business. So in fact, let me just do that. Okay. With you, Skype for Business, I've already given Brian a phone number, so I'll pick a template that will leverage that. So we'll go back to Brian, and really all I have to do is say submit, and the template will provision them for Skype and Exchange UM, whether we've got templating for whether that's on-prem or 365.
All right, cool. So basically the telephone admin can create predefined scripts, as they were, or workflows that the level one guys can run in comfort that they know it's going to be successful in the outcome and the provisioning in a consistent way.
Right. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, using those templates, you can really control how things are being done and keep them consistent. So with that, I'd like to click out of there. There's so many examples we can go in there, and we've got demos completely around just help one. But I'd like to click back here, talk about our other solutions, and then get into Second Nature to show you some of the core engine that's beneath all of this. So from there, I'm going to jump over to line one. I'm not going to jump into the software, but I'm just going to talk about it again. It's much like Help One in that it's a simple web interface. You'll get a screenshot here in a moment, and it really is focused on allowing end users to be able to do the changes themselves. And you can decide what people have which permissions. It's very cool. We've used it to great effect with many large organizations, and it works very nicely when complemented with our other tools, including Help One and Second Nature. Here's an example of what that might look like. I gave an example again of Avaya and Cisco. I didn't pull up anything on the Skype for Business just because this deck has already been created for another purpose. But in any case, you'll see that you can do a number of different things. You can decide, again, what end users are allowed to do or not do. Question on that one?
Oh, good.
Great. So with Number Pro, again, is a simple web interface. This one's geared towards people that are looking to manage the numbers. It's really robust in its ability to look across multiple systems, system types, do conflict resolution by doing number transformations and say, all right, this number looks like this in this system, and it looks like this in that system, and being able to reconcile that and recognize when the number is being used one place or another. All sorts of cool reports. So if you're looking to associate your toll-free numbers with a particular DNS and then what number that's associated with or where it terminates, whether that's a response group or a particular phone number or VDN or something like that, it can be associated and reported on there as well. Let me give you a quick screenshot of that here in just a moment. This kind of reiterates what I've just been talking about. But again, it's a simple button-driven, action-driven interface that allows you to simplify many of those things. Mm-hmm. And I think I just talked about that particular report, the lower left-hand one, how to see the DNS and then where it terminates. And then also availability reports. So as you organize your numbers, you're able to quickly find the next available number in a particular location or range, however you want to define those. And we also give you availability reports that allow you to let you know when you're running low on numbers that are reserved or set aside for particular locations or areas. In addition, as numbers get recycled back in, people get terminated and those numbers become available again. We recognize those on the system, and then you can implement aging policies. So I don't want this number, once someone's been terminated, to come back into the availability pool for 7 days, 30 days, 60 days, whatever that might be, and you can change those rules for whatever particular department or location
you want. How does your product cope with out of band number changes? So what I mean by that is, let's say I log into the Skype control panel and just delete a user without coming in to use your tool to remove that user. Will you pick up that change and recycle the number at that point?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And that goes back to how our software interfaces with the system. Yeah, we do reconcile our core database and our software with each of the systems that we're connected to. So no matter where you make that change, we'll recognize that that change has been made. If it's been made through one of our tools, we'll know lots of information, who made it, when they made it, everything else. If it's made through a different location, so maybe through an admin using the native interface someplace else, we'll see that the change has been made. We'll know the old value, we'll know the new value, except for pins and passwords and security information. But we'll recognize, for example, that someone's been terminated, that number might be should be become available again. We would recognize that and then put that right back into the aging process or whatever automated process we have for recycling that number. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And there's all sorts of things. You can set aside numbers to be reserved and held for different projects. You can set different sets of reservation links, or even just go in and set reservations for toll-free numbers and say, I want this number to be set aside for this particular marketing campaign or whatever it might be for this period of time. And then I want to know that number is going to be back into our availability pool offer additional marketing campaigns or something like that. So there's all sorts of different examples that people have been using.
Okay. Can we classify numbers as well? So like into, there's a common sort of theme in the Skype world. I don't know if it transcends into Cisco and Avaya, but classify numbers as like gold, silver, and bronze. And the bronze numbers are just any numbers, but the gold ones are the ones that are ended in like in three or four digits of the same. So like the 000 or ending 999, for instance. Can you classify
them? So whether they might be vanity numbers or however you want to categorize them, we provide the complete flexibility for you to set what parameters are for how you want to organize your numbers. We don't have any rules for defining necessarily the rules around 000 or 99999, but those can be selected, or we can maybe use a spreadsheet to filter those out, whatever those rules would be, and then use that to overlay it and import it and define what those categories would be. And then you can decide who's allowed to provision or reserve or manage those numbers, if you will. So you could just make them unavailable to certain people to use or consume. NumberPro doesn't control anyone from the native interface to be able to go in there and provision those numbers, but from the reservation and visibility of our tool, we are able to give you that administrative capability.
Cool.
Yeah. And then finally, Spotlight, it's a graphical reporting tool on the data that's in our core engine. Here's a couple of screenshots of what it might look like. In our upper left-hand corner, we put an example of our particular license count. So you can see licenses across particular systems. You can see maybe what mailboxes are full in some of your old systems, or what do my Active Directory online licenses look like, and how are they allocated. And I even got access into old systems. So for those of you that are maybe moving from Nortel, CS1000s or other systems like that, we've got information and ability to do that. You don't just have to go through the command line interface and try and export data. We've got the ability to go in there and pull that data and move it over. In fact, we've got a number of people that have been using our tool to be able to pull information and group it and help people migrate from the old Nortels. There's all sorts of different things. I mentioned how you can dig into these graphics and look at what data is beneath them. In the lower left-hand corner, I'm just showing how you can click on one of those pie charts and get all of the information that might make up one of those particular bars or those pieces of the pie. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. It really is just a very inexpensive tool that gives you great visibility, and it complements many of our other tools, but can be run by itself.
Yeah, sure. Keep on coming back to this diagram, and I keep on coming to the same question. So if I was a Skype admin and I wanted to buy your product, I guess by default, I have to buy Second Nature as a core application, and then these other applications like the NumberPro is a bolt-on. Is that correct?
No, actually, any one of the tools that are represented here can be run independently. I think your question goes back to that core engine in the middle there, that Second Nature Web Services Foundation. Yeah, so that's a good question before I go any further. That core engine is licensed a little bit different for each of the tools. NumberPro and Spotlight give you that core engine, but it's part of a package price. It doesn't matter how many phones, voicemail systems, users you have. Those tools are available to you for a set price, including perpetual licensing support that you can be renewed annually or multi-year contracts, as well as the visibility and control across all of the systems, whether they be one homogenous system or a whole bunch of different systems. Second Nature, Help One, and Line One give you additional capability. If you have Second Nature, which we'll show you here in a minute, it gives you that visibility from that core engine to do all the moves, adds, changes, deletes, everything. For things like Number Pro and Spotlight, it's just a visibility tool. It gives you read-only access to those systems. But it does enable you, like a Number Pro, to use the functionality of that core engine to do the sorts and filters, exports of information, as well as do number reservation and management of things that aren't settings and configurations on the systems themselves.
Okay, sure.
Okay. I'll move right now over to Second Nature. That really is our most powerful tool. It gives you the most robust view into those core engines, into the core engine, as well as the systems they're connected to. It's very powerful, and I'm going to show you just a quick example of that here as we click over. Chuck, why don't we click over to Second Nature? Perfect. And this is the highest level system administrator view looking into that core engine that supports all of our tools. I've got four windows that are open, and I'll just talk about them here in a minute, and then we'll work into a couple of workflows to give you an example of how it works. I've got four windows open. On the far left, I've got our framework window. I think of that as our control panel. It's where you manage all of your administrators, their permissions, their restrictions. You can see what roles and everything else they have, as well as be able to see history on everything that they've done. We can see the connections to the systems, manage the connections to the systems, as well as all of the information flowing to and from it, and do a complete audit report on all the changes that have been made, they're scheduled to be made, any of the errors that might have happened. It's also where we can manage any of our customizations that you might have had, anything that you would want to add in there for notifications. There's all sorts of cool stuff. It's your control panel, if you will. The next window over is our systems list, and that just shows each of the systems that we're connected to. So your number inventory system, our database that we've got internal to our software, our Microsoft Active Directory online or on-prem, as well as any of the other systems that you might be moving from or want to use this tool to manage either during a transition or during a migration. And then at the bottom opposite. Go ahead.
Just a note on that. Obviously, for like Azure AD, Skype, all the Microsoft products, integration is pretty straightforward because I understand how that works and the APIs and built-in stuff. But for the likes of Avaya or Cisco, even Nortel, what are you connecting to, and what do those systems need to have in order for your interface for yours?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So with Cisco, we use their approved API. It's an Axel API. We connect to it through their normal, the way that they recommend, as well as for Avaya. Now, they didn't allow a lot of people access to their systems for a long time. We had access using the AES, which for us, we don't need any additional licensing for that. If you've got AES for the CM, the Communications Manager, we can do that. We just use, I think it's SOAP commands through their API that they provided. In fact, we have definitely helped them develop that. And for old Nortels, which don't have an API, behind the scenes, because we've been doing this for a very long time, we actually emulate their command line interface. So you can actually go in there and see what commands are going in and out of there.
The load commands.
Yep. And yeah, if you've got Nortel experts that would like to know how we can work with them, we've got some great history and awesome tools for that. But when it comes to Skype for Business, I think you mentioned that. Those are pretty well documented. Maybe your audience is familiar with them, but it's PowerShell. And it's cool, too, because you can actually go in and see the PowerShell that we're using to interface with
their systems. You don't need to know PowerShell.
You don't need to know it. That's correct. That's correct. Beyond that, I guess, were there other ones that you had questions about, or is that covered enough for you?
That's covered enough for us for the system lists.
Okay. I'd like to just open this up, show you an example of how we pull information and what information we're pulling from each of these systems. Chuck, if you could open up an Avaya CM. There we go. That's an example. There are so many settings and configurations on some of these systems. So in this case, stations really represent the telephones that are on those systems. If I were to open up that particular record list, I'd be able to see all of the stations on a particular CM. And you can see there's all sorts of columns here that I've chosen to display. I could choose any column here of any of the information on this particular system to show, as well as information from related systems. So if I want to see who also has UM or who's link enabled, I can do that as well, which is really awesome during migrations or platform transitions. If I want to be able to move people and say, all right, I want to create a migration group, but I want to make sure that I'm not pulling people and reprovisioning people who already have assets. Now, this same concept is true for all of the record lists that I can pull up here. Now, we'll do that in just an example in just a minute. But I'd like to go one step further and show you an example of the information we have on each one of these particular stations. Is there one that we could pull up, Chuck, that would be good to show?
Sure. to bring up one that has some voicemail with it.
Okay, so in this case, we're going to pull up Renee Walsh. We open it up, and this is just to show you some of the detail of the settings and configurations that we're pulling from that would be available to us as we're setting up migration groups, or there's information that we would want to use or utilize in some way as we're provisioning people on a different system. In this case, we can see a faceplate like we saw before, but we can go into the station and see all of the settings, configurations, the coverage paths, any of the information there that we wanted to use.
And I could edit in this window, can I, if I wanted to?
Say it again?
Could I edit settings in this window as well?
Yes, yeah. So if you've got Second Nature, this is a complete administration tool as well. So you can manage all of the settings individually, or if we were to back out to that record list, you could do them in bulk, either select the people that you want or sort and filter to the people that you want and make those changes. We also allow you to bulk change using things like a file. So if you've got a bulk modification that you want to go through or supplement this data with other settings or configurations or data descriptions, it's very flexible. It's very flexible. I'd like to close out of this and just, now that I've shown you some of the examples of the data that are there on this particular system, I'm going to go into a system that maybe you guys are more familiar with and open up a Skype for Business and show you some of the record lists that are available there to see. So you can see some of the information that's manageable that we're
online
using.
Online or on-prem?
Let's just do on-prem just to give it a little bit more robust. There's more things for people to see. So we've opened up the Active Directory here for Skype for, we've opened up the Skype for Business list here to show you all of the different record lists of information we could go into and look at. Again, we could open up the users pool and find the list of all of the users of this particular Skype for Business system. And you can choose all of the columns that you want to see across there. And again, you can see here, we're associating information with those particular users, who still has assets on Avaya, who still has assets on Cisco. So if I wanted to go and do data cleanup, I can find those people and deprovision them there as well. So all sorts of cool things you can do. One of the things I'd like to showcase is that all of the data that we have access to that you're able to see. Go ahead, Mark.
Can we filter by a common by commonality? So let's say in Skype I've got a task to say I need to migrate this this agent hunt group from one RGS platform to another RGS workflow. I don't want to have to add all the agents in manually in the Skype panel. I just want to copy what's there and dump it into the new call flow. Can I do that?
Yeah, so anything that you want to sort and filter on that we have visibility into, you're able to do that. And that can be Boolean logic. So you know, if this and that, or if this or that, any of the things that are available to us to see, you can sort those groups into that particular group. So as complex as you want to get, you define what that is. Yes.
Okay, cool. And if I wanted to, say, migrate users from an Avaya hunt group to a Skype hunt group, for instance.
Response group. Yeah.
Yeah. Roughly, what's the process? Can you show us that? Roughly?
Yeah, I can. In fact, and that's raises a good one for you too, Mark. I know you've seen these in the past. I've got a whole bunch of workflows, quick workflows that are anywhere from 3 to 6 minutes that show some of these really complex workflows. That one takes a few minutes, but absolutely we can show that. I mean, if you're up for it, we can certainly do that.
Yeah, go for it.
We're back to that same CM record list, and I'll set up a filter showing me those that have a distinguished name, meaning there is an Active Directory user that's upstream.
Yeah.
But I've added a column saying show which ones are link enabled and which ones aren't. So we'll do another added filter to it saying enabled for link equal to no.
There we go. That's an example of Boolean logic in that filter. Mm-hmm. So now we're looking for people sorting that long list of stations. Based on those two criteria, who's left. Now, we don't have a huge long list here, but in this case, it gives us the people that meet those criteria, and we can either select one or multiple people and then use them, that information we already have on them from the systems we have to go ahead and provision them into another system. Do we want to do that right now?
Just another point is that we've also recognized the extension, and one of our features is to put in a transformation rule. So when I see the 237 prefix in this example, I know it's Miami. So we padded out the full E164 format, and that's the number we'll leverage when we're actually provisioning for the Skype user.
Cool.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, and I welcome you guys. Obviously, Mark, I've shared this with you already, but if there's other of your audience that would like to see more examples of workflows, I've got a number of them recorded, and we certainly take requests too if you'd like to see how it might work in your environment for migration.
Awesome.
There's a number of different examples when it comes to workflows for how to do provisioning. One of the sort filter capabilities that we have that's really awesome is being able to find new users and be able to provision them really quickly. So whether that's finding maybe a list of Active Directory users that have been created that don't have any assets, we can certainly find them very quickly through a simple sort filter like we just did, and then just provision them using the templates very quickly.
Because they're interested in 365, I'd just like to show quickly the online, so the Azure AD. We know about the licenses, we know about service plans, and know that the licenses have to be associated to go through there. I'm going to bring up the users. This really shows the depth of our ability to do that federation, looking across systems. So we've got the names of the online Active Directory. Some of the other attributes that correspond to that. Are they Skype for Business Online or UM Online? How about on-prem? Do they have that information? Do they have Cisco? Do they have Avaya? All the way across the line, very powerful at that level. If I wanted to provision somebody, I could go into Avi. Actually, I would pull it from a template that I have over here, where I'll provision to give them Skype and UM. Basically, I just choose which one I want to go with, and I'll pick up Christina Jones here. And I'll browse. This is back to that same idea where I can see what numbers are available. We also are very aware of the numbers that have been ported to Microsoft for the online world. And so we know, in fact, we automatically put those into their own ranges. So just that quickly,
So that plus 612, that plus 1612 number, that's in the cloud. Is that right?
Yes. Yep. That was ported. And we know that's ported, and we actually make a range for it as we come in. So all of that information is there, so we can see that the template filled it in, so it's UM enabled, and it's Skype for Business enabled. Here's that number that we pulled off. The template's going to do the rest of the information. Well, you could prompt for more information, but it filled in the appropriate policies and those types of things.
Yeah, I think we've kind of glossed over some of the complexity that we've been able to achieve or taken care of for you, because a lot of those things have been set in advance through the template setup and configuration. So a lot of times administrators can set up these templates either for a particular area, location, or a particular role or department. You decide what those are and then choose to give those templating capabilities to maybe sub-administrators that manage a particular area, or even if you want to hand those off to other tools like Help One or other tools that allow you to do those simplified provisioning processes, you can just hand those off. In addition, the administrators from this view have full visibility into those other tools that they've been implemented with Second Nature. So you can see all of the use, see all of the changes, who's made them, and when, old values, new values, etc., across all of the systems.
So just a question in this sort of an automation context. So let's say Christina Jones, she's got, I've no idea what that number is. I'm assuming it's a US number.
Correct.
From the UK, so that makes, it could be Canadian for all I know. But let's say she's in the Seattle office, that's just for argument's sake, plus 786 of Seattle, just for argument's sake. And she takes an internal position that's in London, and she emigrates. So obviously, what sort of environment triggers can you action, the deprovision of a plus 17 number to a plus 44 number, for instance?
To be able to go in and just change the number that's been assigned to this particular person?
That's a manual process, right? I was just interested in to figure out if your product could pick up like changes. Let's say Christina, because she's moved from Seattle to London, an AD admin, for instance, has gone and said, "Well, you're no longer in the Seattle organizational unit in AD. I'm dropping you in London. Can you pick up that change to say that actually that user swapped roles? So therefore, by being in this OU, for instance." You get this sort of this template, and you get this pool of numbers, this voice policy and link, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so
write it on an automation level.
Yeah, so automation for us is the combination of a number of different functions that we have. So what we showed here was a simple, straightforward process of provisioning or adding assets or moving someone from one location to another from one platform to another. If you wanted to automate maybe a trigger, for example, to say, I recognize that based on these changes, either in Active Directory or some other source, we're going to complete these other actions, we can string those two together based on business rules. Off the shelf, those business rules aren't already defined here, but you certainly can leverage two things that work together. So for example, in the case you might be referring to, we want to set up a report that automatically checks or recognizes changes in Active Directory, like maybe a change in location. And from that, based on whatever location change that might be, trigger a change to deprovision a certain number or asset in one location and reprovision them using a template for another location. You can certainly do that. The manual process obviously could just be to go in here and make that change individually. And in many cases, defining all of the business rules for automation doesn't seem to make sense. So a lot of times we do a hybrid of that, which is let's create an automated report that recognizes certain changes and then make sure that those changes happen either by somebody going and doing them themselves or bulk making those changes at the end of the day just by a spreadsheet bulk change.
So it's more controlled change rather than...
Yeah. And there's just so many different scenarios where people want that, especially when you start changing numbers and changing settings. A lot of times our automation solutions that we define as a custom solution on top of these tools, defining those business rules, require that. So they'll say, we want to make these changes, but we want a stop check for someone to go through and make sure this is true before we do it. An example would be in deprovisioning. So when you recognize someone's been removed from Active Directory or for whatever other reason being triggered to be recognized for deprovisioning, make sure that we can maybe go in and delete their phone, but let's not just delete their voicemail just yet. Let's put that into a situation where we change the password for that voicemail and save it and send it to an administrator or a manager of that person and then let them delete it after that point, or even just delay the deletion or deprovisioning of that asset later. So there's all sorts of weird ways you could set that automation to work. But
so it's an interesting thing you just point you just made there about people leaving in mailboxes. Obviously, in my world, that's Exchange UM. So the process would be, if I wanted to keep that mailbox available, I'd put that into compliance. I'd put it into like litigation hold and stuff like that. So does your product extend to manipulating the Exchange mailbox for that particular scenario, or is it more controlled on the password scenario, the other reset the password access to the mailbox, for instance?
I'm not sure that quite hit the question.
Okay. So in Exchange UM or Exchange as a solution, if I wanted to hold that mailbox when the user's left without changing their password, I can hold that into like the litigation hold, it's called, where no ads, moves, changes can happen in that mailbox. It's frozen almost. Can you do that with your product, or is it not quite?
That's a good question. I'm not familiar with that particular setting. Is that one that we show here, Chuck?
Yeah, I think the has to be the lockout. So I think we do. If not, we'd love to understand your particular workflow and we'll add it in.
Okay.
I'm sorry that I'm not familiar with that particular setting, but if it is something that we have visibility into, we certainly have that ability to change it, and that could be a setting change that automatically happens as part of, like you mentioned, an automation process. So when someone gets terminated or otherwise is no longer should have.
Hasta la vista.
What's that?
Hasta la vista.
Yeah, exactly. So I know I've already gone over the time that we kind of had set aside for this. I'd like to
crack on. It's fine.
Again, Second Nature is our most robust view into that core engine that supports all of our tools. It allows you to manage a whole bunch of systems from one place. It allows you to do platform transitions and management during those platform transitions. It gives you complete visibility into the moves, adds, changes, deletes, and allows you to schedule these things. So build projects up, especially in a migration scenario. You can set each of the stages of a migration, for example, and see how it looks along the way and then schedule it to happen in that cascading process. In addition to that, I like to point this out too, is we have a full API with Software Developer Kit. So if you want to use your developers, if you want to layer into this or use our core software engine to put your solutions into it, you certainly can. It's very open, and we encourage people to use it. And especially if you don't want to learn all of the APIs or integration requirements for those old systems, we encourage you to look at our core engine as a way to do that.
I mean, the API and SDK, is that what we'd use for like creating the business triggers for the custom workflows? Is that
how it can be. It can be. In fact, all of our web interface tools use our own API. So these are just tools that we've developed on top of our own API. You could actually build those same tools yourselves. We also, as far as our custom automation solutions, can layer in additional layers that may either use our API or could be something that we would build and integrate into our core software engine just for your particular organization. So there's a couple of different ways to do it.
Just a question on the RBAC. It says they're very configurable, so I'm guessing you can go, you know, to the parameter almost of what people can see. So in organizations that are global, they might have different compliance regulations. Is it a one instance of second nature your core engine can solve those or get over those regional compliance issues, or do we need multiple versions of second nature, for instance, in different regions where those compliance laws are enforced?
You can do it either way. We have organizations that use the role-based access controls to achieve those desired requirements, compliance requirements. Certainly, even for me, some organizations in our area in Minnesota use them to manage their environments and do just that. Basically, it gives them an administrative tool for each department to be able to manage it, their systems and their organizations or their department, like it's their own separate system. And for all practical purposes, they have no visibility or control over any other part of that system from any other department. So yes, it can achieve that compliance for dividing up visibility and control by region or by department, or you guys can define how that looks. In addition to that, you can also do it by different roles. So if you want to give certain people very limited capability, you can do that as well. Say, okay, I only want them to be able to manage certain people or not be able to see people in an executive role. You can do that as well. And that configurable role-based permissions is also true for our help desk. So you can set tier one, tier two, or other type administrator views. So that maybe you want to hand off a version of help one to regional people, maybe a branch manager to be able to just handle the phones and assets that are their particular branch. So there's all sorts of cool ways you can do that. Awesome. So with that, I kind of showed you the software live. Here's a couple of the screenshots showing it. But I want to talk about the system requirements. It doesn't require a huge footprint, especially for most of the environments that are out there. If you've got things that are over 50,000, 100,000 phones and voicemail boxes or other assets, we may want to talk about setting up something that's a little bit bigger.
So for the 20 gig RAM, I guess that's not including the SQL database that you use. That's in addition.
Well, again, it depends on most how big the environment is that we're supporting, but generally that should be plenty big for even pretty big organizations. Is that correct, Chuck?
Yeah, it's a minimum. Big ones need a little more, but these are such modest requirements already that they're almost comical.
Right. Right. Oh, with that, I've mentioned this. So definitely think of us when you're thinking about doing platform transitions or you have multi-vendor environments that you're looking to manage. If you're thinking about automation, I know there are other companies out there that talk about it, but we've actually done it and been doing it for a number of years, and we know all the skeletons that are out there that you could come across, and we look forward to working with you to understand those better. And certainly when it comes to number inventory issues, if there's an easy way for you to learn more about our products, number inventory, number management is a really great place for you to get a very affordable entry into our software tools.
Your software, it's very granular and very, you can almost change the world with it, right, in terms of the telephony. So do you offer customers the chance of, like, time-based trials, for instance, so they can get comfortable with it? Because obviously demos are great and presentations are great, but doesn't they're not the replacement for real hands-on. So do you offer anything to sort of do managed proof of concepts, for instance? Or
yeah, we do. We do. We have a number of different ways that we can do that. Some of our smaller products, it can be something as simple as that. Just basically get an order to come in here, and a lot of times we would charge for the services it takes to do some setup and training. But beyond that, many times we're able to provide that software and get it installed pretty easily and do demonstrations or at least trials for sure.
Cool.
With that, I'd like to close and just give you my contact information. I'm, again, Eric Wendell. I'm with Unimax. I'm the channel relationship manager here. So whether your audience is end users that are looking to do this or channel partners looking to understand Unimax's products and available solutions, please go ahead and reach out to me with questions or any comments that you might have that you'd like to find more out about. So with that, Mark, thank you for having us. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about before we close?
Well, I think we could probably talk for hours, but we just don't have that time, unfortunately. thank you for spending the last hour with us and showing us what your product does and how you can help not just the Skype admin, right, but the telephone admin and the business.
All right.
Manage multiple platforms. So really appreciate it. Thank you for being on. And we'll do it again sometime.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate
it. Thanks a lot. No worries.